Christmas should be a time of excitement, a time people gather for carol services, that lights and signs are put up in the streets, including pictures, even pictures of Father Christmas. These are meant to be celebrations. For many, there's the excitement of gifts, presents, some anticipated, new games, new clothes, things to eat. Often it's the time we're around family. We have not seen much of during the year. And for cricket tragics, it's a prelude to watching the Boxing Day test. Reflecting that in Australia, it's a time of heat and sun. It was different for me where I grew up in the UK. It was a time of cold and occasionally snow, to the delight of some of us when we were kids. And for some, it's not just a time of excitement. Some may find Christmas difficult. Without the celebrations or excitement many of us have, they may be missing or struggling to get on with family, perhaps not having people to give them presents, or having people dear to them just die. Some police, nurses, doctors, paramedics have to work over Christmas and so cannot enjoy the holiday. Yet Christmas should be a celebration for all. Not because life is great, not dependent on us having a great time, but because it's a time we look back to Jesus' coming and forward to his return and the promised kingdom of God, where we can enjoy being with our God. We've read of God's promise of a king to come from the line of David. One who God will treat as a son, who'll build a house for God and establish God's kingdom forever, a kingdom where there is rest from enemies. We've also read how Zechariah, knowing that Jesus is this king and that Jesus is now being born as he's already in his mother's womb, speaks of Jesus bringing redemption for God's people, bringing salvation, showing mercy despite the disobedience of their fathers, and enabling God's people to serve him without fear, in holiness, in a kingdom that's marked by peace, by righteousness and justice. A kingdom where the king, rather than being an autocratic dictator, is called Wonderful Counselor, a king that the people can come to for help and wisdom. A kingdom that in this world we can only dream of. Yet that is our promise. And at Christmas we celebrate the birth of this king, of Jesus. Yet Jesus did not bring salvation for the Jews in the way they expected, from what they saw as their disgrace. They were a conquered nation. They had to please the Romans. And they wanted that removed, to be autonomous. But Jesus did not act as a human king. He did not establish human rule. And all of this was reflected in his birth in a manger, not a palace. It was reflected by the angels sending shepherds to him, nomads that were considered among the lowest in society. Yet such are the people that Jesus values, people that benefit from his coming. And it's the angel's song of praise that describes what Jesus brings. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. And it's here that we get the joy of Christmas. God showing his glory by making peace with men, granting peace to his people, to those who believe in Jesus and live out of it. This is not a promise to bring peace in human wars immediately. Much as we hate what we see of the cruelty of these conflicts, of the death and suffering these conflicts cause in Ukraine and Palestine, God's not promising that peace there immediately. Because Jesus' first coming is about bringing reconciliation between God and man. It's offering peace to mankind because God will not count our sin against us. As Jesus, as our King, will take this on himself. As Psalm 32 starts, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Just as the shepherds have said, "Peace to men on whom God's favour rests," so here we find, "Blessed are those whose sins are covered," where Jesus takes on himself, as our King, the punishment for all the times we go our own way, for all the times we forget, ignore, or reject God, by dying that we might live. This is not on those who think they're good enough of themselves, but on those that turn to God for mercy, for his provision of peace, looking for God to provide. As verse 5 of Psalm 32 says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Selah. David speaks of how he turned to God here, acknowledged his sin, his need for forgiveness, not covering it up that he'd done his own things, rejecting God's way. And if you read David's life, this happened rather too much, particularly with Bathsheba, but there are a lot of other things. Yet David acknowledged his need for God, his need for God's salvation, God's mercy, for David, like ours, receives through Jesus. So this Christmas, for those who claim to belong to God, that seek to represent God's values and character in this world, for those that turn to him, confessing our need for him now, so we receive his mercy, his salvation, and live out of the peace that Jesus brings. That's how we're supposed to be living, turning to him in relationship with our God. Verse 6. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him." Christmas should be a time of joy, as we've just sung, joy in our relationship with God. Jesus' coming is so that we might enjoy that now, not wait for when trouble hits, for when Jesus returns, but being able to enjoy amidst our lives, amidst the problems and the joys, that God is in relationship with us now. And he promises that he'll instruct, he'll teach and counsel us, enabling us to live for him, representing him to those around us. But he promises more. Verse 10. "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him." In Jesus' coming, he gives us a reason to rejoice. We see his unfailing love, that saves us despite our disobedience. His unfailing love that takes us into relationship with him, that brings us peace, joy, and salvation. That ultimately is what Christmas is about. So while enjoying time with family, with friends, and others this Christmas, enjoying presents, holidays, perhaps being able to do what we want, let us do so with God present there. And similarly, if life is ever tough over Christmas, let us also know that God is present, that we can receive comfort from our relationship with him. Let us be rejoicing, singing in our hearts at Jesus coming and all that that brings for us. Salvation, peace with God, restored relationship, mercy. Let's remember our glorious hope of Jesus returning, a kingdom of justice and righteousness, because those who are there seek Jesus and follow the values of the kingdom. Let's take joy this Christmas in our relationship with God that Jesus brings, as Psalm 32, verse 11 puts it. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Let's pray. Father, just make this Christmas a time when we know you, when we know your presence, know you with us, in the good times and the hard times. Just enable us to rejoice because of the peace that we have with you, the peace that Jesus coming brings. His name we pray. Amen.